This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Michael Perry is back on the show. We had him on the show back in 2017 when his book, The Jesus Cow, came out. Well, his latest book is called Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. Michael joins us from Wisconsin via Riverside.com. Hi, Michael.
Well, good to talk to you again. It's been a little while.
Nice to talk to you, too, as well. Now, I understand that the book, the title of the book, the subtitle of the book is a lot longer, and that is How Firefighters and Poets, Truckers and Nurses, Soldiers and Singers, and Other Improbable Individuals Can Show You the Way in Business and Creativity. And I just want to talk about how are those other people improbable individuals as far as you're concerned?
They're improbable because they, they operate in fields utterly unlike the field that I've made my living in for the last 30 years. And yet each one of them indelibly influenced me and helped me along this path long before I knew I was going to be on it. I've said in other interviews that they're the ones who show you the way before the way is clear. And so let's take just for a moment nurses. I have a nursing degree and wound up being a nurse for just a short time, enjoyed it, but started writing, got a few writing assignments, thought it would be kind of a hobby and I'd go right back to nursing. 30 years later, I've been writing for a living ever since. And in nursing school, I had some wonderful instructors who taught me how to sit down with an individual, perhaps assess their abdominal pain, but not get tunnel vision. Also get their vital signs, but also inquire as to their emotional health, as to their situation in life, family, how were their support systems. In other words, to do a holistic human assessment. And when I went on to become a writer, well, nursing is about human assessment. And what is writing but human assessment? And then also when I became a self-employed writer, I'm a volunteer firefighter, have been for years. And there are things like not going into a scene until you're sure it's safe. And I drew on the example of some of the unsafe situations I got into to realize that sometimes first mover status, as they call it, is a good idea. You want to be first to an idea. You want to act quickly. Other times, it's far more important for the survival of you and your career to hold back for a moment and observe and pay attention. So all of these things were training me to become a self-supporting writer over the years. But of course, at the time, I had no idea because it seemed utterly unrelated to what I didn't even know I was going to do.
You have been a best-selling author for quite some time. You have several books out. When did this idea of doing this particular book, Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents, when did that come to light?
I was stranded on a boat in the middle of the ocean. Probably not the middle. I think we were only 12 miles out. So I'm a country boy from northern Wisconsin, but I had a friend in Alabama who I went down there to do some speaking engagements, and he said, "I'll take you fishing." I'd never caught a fish in the ocean. So we went 12 miles out in this big boat. I caught my very first fish in the ocean, and as I was reeling it in, the engines quit. And so we spent the next 4 hours with the captain of the ship idling us back to shore. It was dark by the time we got back. And this friend of mine, Andy, we just talked about where he too ended up somewhere he never expected. And we were just talking about all the people we'd met along the way who helped shape us and form us and prepare us for what we wound up doing. And again, he had started out as a comedian, and then he wound up hosting a country music show, and then eventually wound up being a million-selling author. And so at the end of our little boat ride, Andy said, "You ought to write a book about this." Or actually, he said, "You ought to put this together as a talk, as a speech, a keynote speech." And I didn't think much about it. And then on the flight home, I just thought, well, I might as well do that. And so I put together what I thought would be a little speech and then turned it into this little book.
When you give speeches, especially a speech like this, do you get feedback after the speech from people who may have attended it? And is that something that gives you an aha moment going forward?
Oh, yeah. I love connections and connections that aren't obvious. And for instance, I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. Now, if you could see my hands, you could tell I was raised by farmers and loggers. If you could see my hands, you would know that I haven't done a lot of logging or farming lately. But I speak to a lot of farm groups. And one of the things that I write about in this book is how when I speak to farmers, mostly I'm there to be a humorist. I do a lot of humor performances and I talk about funny things that happened on the farm. But I'm also a self-employed writer. Now, you wouldn't think I'd have a lot in common with farmers, but farmers are often self-employed. It's a singular endeavor. You have to work really hard to get ahead. There are fluctuations in the market you can't control, just like there are fluctuations in book sales I can't control. And so what gives me joy is if I, as a writer, can give a talk to a bunch of farmers and then afterwards have a farmer say, oh, yeah, I made that connection or I understand that. So yes, I learn from every group. I do a lot of fire and EMS speaking as well, and firefighters and EMTs. And I was just on a fire scene yesterday morning as a volunteer. And there are always these commonalities that we can draw out from others' experiences and apply to our own. And that's what I tried to lay out in this little book.
You know, one of the things I'm getting from this particular book is the fact that people can change course along the way. And people can think other things other than what they initially wanted to do. Now, in my case, I'm a person who wanted to be a broadcaster since I was 7. So, and I had a one-track mind, even though there were many people, including my own family, who tried to derail me. So I guess I'm asking for this particular group of people, like myself, is your book for somebody who has literally a one-track mind career-wise and life-wise?
Yes, because in my case, even though I ping-ponged around for a while, in the introduction to the book, I just say I was that pragmatic person. I was very sensible. I got a good college degree. I was a good student. I was a decent person, I hope. And I was going to do all those very pragmatic things. And then all of a sudden, I took off in this tangent, bounced around, and then found this thing I loved and got to do it for 30 years. And I think the commonality there is our doggedness, our belief in ourselves, even though in your case, you figured it out way earlier than I did. I was still digging in the dirt when you knew what you wanted to do. And but in both cases, there's that kind of what I refer to as a stubborn perseverance, where you just put your head down, you go, there's this voice in me telling me this is the right way to go. And so I think there is that commonality, and that a tangent, you know, in my case, the tangents bounced all over the place. In your case, you saw the road right before you.
Outside of the stories that you've mentioned already, what were some of the people that surprised you when looking back at your life, that surprised you as being mentors, even though you might not have realized they were a mentor at that time?
Well, one that comes to mind immediately, and this is so basic, but I love to tell it. I was a good student in high school, but I went to a very tiny rural school. I had good grades, but frankly, I kind of got away with not studying, and I really didn't work that hard to get those good grades. And I was always looking for the easy way out. And when I was a senior in high school, I took a typing class. And I thought, well, this will be easy. I'll just fiddle around in typing class. I'll get an easy A and never mind. And yet, and the teacher that I had was very young and energetic, and I'm sure she got weary of me, but somehow she really did teach me how to type. And of course, it would be another 6 or 8 years before one day I looked up and realized that Miss Grant, who's in the book, taught me how to type, and every day I make a living and am fulfilled by the fact that I learned how to type.
Well, you know, that's something that we do have in common. I took 2 years of typing in high school. And of course, as a broadcaster and as a former news anchor, I type a lot, right?
That's right.
All I do every day. But my reason was not for the easy A. I, A, wanted to type. And B, at the time when I was typing, the ratio of guys to girls in that class, it was off the charts.
Well, I can speak to that because I went to nursing school and I was in a class of 95 students with 2 other men, and they were both older married guys out of the military. So yes, it sounds like we've got some commonalities. And I think ultimately it's just that dedication to a goal. And you had that dedication to a goal from the age of 7. I had a dedication to a goal that was a lot more fuzzier, but it just had to do with finding what it was I really wanted. And that's where I would say that folks like you and I overlap, just that focus.
Well, we're all lucky that you found what you wanted to do, because you have several books out that are all bestsellers. The latest one is Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. Michael, thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us once again.
It was great to talk to you again. Thank you for having me.
Michael Perry, author of Improbable Mentors and Happy Tangents. You can go to our website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0847, and you'll find the link to his site. Plus, links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.